Bonk.
How
you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're coming in hot on this one.
Yeah, well, you're always coming in hot.
Oh, for goodness.
Every time you come in a room, I'm like, man, you just came in hot because you're so hot.
Goodness.
With your cutie pie face and your lovely little cheeks.
Oh, jeez. I've been meaning to tell you, sometimes I'll come into a room to tell you something real quick, like, oh, hey, you need to call your mom back, but I got to wait through that whole thing every time I enter a room, so just, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I touch you and you sizzle.
That's how it works. Yes. No, we're recording this, like, a few hours before it's going to go live for our patrons.
It's been a busy week.
Yes, and about a day before it'll go up for everyone. You don't need to know all the details. Just know that if you're hearing our voices fresh on the download, it's like they're fresh from the oven. Farm to table? Is that happens?
It's like the closest thing you'll ever get to this podcast being live.
I guess so.
If you're a patron, you're listening to this when it goes up, then it's just like a few hours earlier we were recording it.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. Look at that. The benefits of being a patron. Patreon.com/paintingthestream.
Yes.
Yeah. Any, what's on your mind before we get to the My Hero?
Mashed potatoes.
Was that actually on your mind, or were you scrambling to think of something when I asked you that?
No, it wasn't on my mind.
It was something you fished for it right away?
But imagine how fun it would be if there was, like, a giant pile of mashed potatoes and you have, like, one of those, you know those wooden spoons that are kind of flat?
Yeah.
Just smacking it. Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be fun, but I thought you were going in a direction that I was getting really excited about when I thought about, like, you know those places you can go to as a kid where there's, like, the foam pits and stuff that you can kind of jump into and you can swing on a rope and all that?
Yeah.
Imagine if instead of, like, the big foam blocks, it was just, like, a giant vat of mashed potatoes and, like, how soft the landing would be. You could test whatever weird flips or anything you want to do.
That's too gross. First of all, I feel like there's a huge danger of drowning in a giant bad mashed potato. Secondly,
that wouldn't sink.
That would be so, so gross. Because, like, that would collect everyone's, like, hair. Like,
well, when I started this business, okay, so that's going to be the main draw is the mashed potato pit. Just to make sure, because, like, no one's going to come there or bring their kids or anything if they got to, like, put them in the car afterwards like that. So it's just going to be, like, there's a giant pit of that, and then there's, like, tons of just private little showers and stuff you can use right after.
Shower off with gravy?
Well, no, the gravy's in the pit. Well, there's two different pits, you know, so you can choose whether, it's like the adult section of the pool or the non, they don't do that, do they? It's adult swim. It's a time thing. It's not a divider. Yeah. I got to rethink my business plan. I'll have to email my partners and
I've been saying for a long time that there should be an adult discovery zone because I want so badly.
God.
I don't know if that was a thing across the country.
Oh, it was.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I knew you talked about it, but I don't know if it's everywhere. But yeah, I used to covet those birthday parties that would be held at the Discovery Zone. For those who don't know, it was like an indoor playground, but it was so elaborate.
Huge.
It was huge.
Imagine like a McDonald's play place, but like times 20.
Yeah, and there were like tunnels to crawl through and like zip lines and
the slides that you're always worried that your fingers were going to get caught between the rollers. Yeah.
Oh, man, it was so fun.
I think there is extremely a market for that because like I think nowadays, now that, you know, like 30-year-olds are basically just like overgrown children, you know, and that's not me criticizing.
I'm a child.
We are way more in that camp than most adults. Most adults have suitcases and know how to like, you know, I signed
or
this documentation.
We
raised humans.
Even our dogs are babies.
Yeah.
They just look like puppies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just surrounded with literal toys right now in the zone.
It's a good situation.
It is. But a lot of this generation of adults, I think, there's a lot of stuff marketed towards them as, you know, like, oh, barcades and stuff where it's like, hey, come play, you know, the Simpsons arcade machine, but have a beer, you know, like, so I think there's a market for that, like the adult discovery zone. Mm-hmm. I just think it's probably a harder sell legally, probably, to be like, get drunk and then go jump around on this shit and flip around and, you know, like ball pits. Like, wouldn't there be more like legal liability stuff?
Well, you probably have to sign a waiver when you come in. You know,
did we have to? Did our parents have to when we went to like Chuck E. Cheese or Discovery Zone back in the day?
I would imagine, right?
Really? I think they were signing paperwork?
I mean, I don't know, but I can't imagine like what there's so many opportunities for injury in those situations.
There really are.
And, you know, if they didn't have parents sign some kind of waiver, then they would be sued all the time.
Yeah, it's not like we grew up in the 50s when, like, people weren't so litigious. Like, you know, we grew up in, like, the 90s and 2000s when, like, people were suing each other all the time.
People were suing each other. And now people are, like, super wild about protecting their kids.
And companies are super wild about making sure
their
asses are covered legally. So maybe our business plan isn't great. But I wish it existed.
Well, what's so bad about giving the old John Hancock and then you get hours of fun?
Why don't we do like a big boss thing and start our own like island nation? But instead of like his being like, oh, I want soldiers to always have something to do, ours will just be like, look, just be cool and we're going to have our adult discovery zones and our mashed potato pits.
Yeah. And if you're a jerk, everyone gathers you up and puts you on a canoe and you go back to the mainland.
Right. Yeah. I think we can start our outer heaven of adult discovery zone. I don't see what would stop this plan. I think it'd be successful.
Hmm.
Yes.
It's something I fantasize about.
Yes, I miss that place too. My hero. I'm going to miss this show as we wait for season 5.
Indeed.
Which I hear the manga is now into some stuff. Which, whenever I brought this up on my streams, I see some folks in the chat be like, oh, it goes places. It's season 5 is some serious shit, I guess. Mm-hmm. So season 4. Well, if you've heard the first two episodes of this podcast, great, great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, My Hero always delivers, you know? I never really know if I'm going to be into whatever storyline happens, but even the ones I'm less enthusiastic about still grab my attention at the end.
Yeah, and it constantly introduces new characters, and I find myself, I'm rarely like, ugh, I hate this. Even like, you know, like Mirio and stuff, like these new characters, they're like, oh, what's this new guy going to be?
Mirio's been around for a while.
Right, but I mean, like when they introduced him, at first I was like, oh, what's the deal? Is this guy going to be another like main character, protagonist type? Or like, you know, what's the deal here?
The cool thing about My Hero is whenever they introduce a new character, you get to learn about what their new quirk is.
Yes, you do.
And they're oftentimes very strange.
Yeah, and you know, we'll get to him more extensively in a bit here, but like they introduce a new villain in this stretch of episodes, and just right away, I'm just like, oh, I love this. This is different than anything I've seen before.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it, obviously. Do you want to just talk about it now? I mean, what is the precursor to the Genesis?
Well, they kind of pay off the stuff that we ended the last stretch with, which was like the thing with the kids.
Yeah.
So, okay, I got a few notes on that. So we'll get to Gentle Criminal here, who's kind of the highlight, I would say, of this stretch. So yeah, there's a kid with a tongue tank. That was my first note.
Yeah.
I like tongue tank as a quirk. Stuff like that. Like we saw that for 2 seconds. I doubt they ever come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
There are scenes in the stretch where it's like you see a big crowd mm-hmm. and it's just like, I'm just scanning like the crowd. Like, oh, what's going on with that guy's head?
Yeah.
You know, like I love that.
Yeah, it's great. Like something like tongue tank probably doesn't have a lot of like fodder for narrative stuff, mm-hmm. but if he's just a background character that we meet once, like, yeah, or like that shark guy in the audience or
yeah.
that giant neck man.
Well, like, imagine being on like some writer's retreat for the show where it's like, okay, we're gonna need some new characters for the season, throw out every idea you've got. Mm-hmm. And imagine you get 100 ideas, maybe 4 or 5 of them turn into major characters, but then like all these other weird ideas, like, oh yeah, we'll have that tongue tank idea show up in this thing here. Like the nature of the show
yeah.
makes it so possible to be like, oh, here's a one-off joke.
What would be like the weird quirk that you would like? I mean, just before we went live, we were talking about if I had a quirk where I boop people's noses and then they get high.
Yeah, yeah. That's a fun one. That seems like something that would be in the show.
Yeah.
Well, I'm bad at being creative on the spot, but one that the show did in one of the last episodes here was a flasher guy that, like, he gets more powerful as he feels shame. So he has to, like, flash people, and then it's like, then he gets more powerful, which
yeah.
I don't know what more power means
exactly.
when you're a flasher.
Yeah, I don't know what it means either, but that's great.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what my weird one would be. I can think of a million, like, useful ones, but that's boring. My Hero, they're always, like, weird.
Yeah, yeah. Constantly tripping.
That'd be tripping like in the drug sense or in the like.
Oh no,
down?
No! I mean like actually tripping, like tripping on banana peels.
Oh, like Super Smash Bros.
But without
Brawl.
Banana peels, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds terrible. Like, are there any straight up negative quirks that are just negative?
Just shitty.
Yeah.
Like ones that are totally useless. There's got to be.
It's just like every, you know, randomly throughout the day, you'll just like shit your pants so hard you go into the ceiling and like just your legs are kicking out. Like, that'd be a bad one.
That'd be terrible.
That'd be a really bad quirk. That'd be across the board negative.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wrote down a note here. I don't know what this means. Sometimes I write notes and then I look at them and I'm like, well,
sure.
Cammy no sells Queen Beam as Todoroki. Does that mean anything to you? I don't even remember who Queen Beam is.
Queen Beam, I think, is that little child that, like, grabs Cammy's butt in, like, a weird way.
Right. Okay. So, okay. Cammy looks like people. And I remember she turns herself into Todoroki, I think,
all
who
right.
those kids all have a major crush on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that kid was like, I think Queen Beam was like, oh, Todoroki's so hot. And I was like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, we figured it out.
Okay. Excellent. There's a good running joke about Yarashi being bald.
Yeah.
I liked.
Yeah, because he wears a hat all the time, but he's not actually bald.
Yeah, and like one episode, there's just like 4 times where they call him Baldy, and he's just like, no, I'm not bald. Nai Dai has a funeral.
Yes, he's dead.
He is dead. That was sad, but we did get to see Fat Gum in a mourning suit, which is very funny. Just a big fat guy
and
in a suit.
Yeah, he was in his fat version.
Yes, we've only seen the skinny version after he like really kicks some ass.
Yeah,
I love that quirk.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun one. There is a section here that is very weird where Toga is like stalking Deku.
Oh, right.
And it's cheese-based stalking, which I really, really enjoyed. It's like shoving cheese in his mouth randomly during class.
Like he just shoved like brie in his mouth.
Yeah.
And then he like leaves him a cryptic message written in cheese on his balcony.
He says, "I know," on his balcony at night.
Yeah. And coupled with how strange of a character Oyama is, like it just makes it especially interesting. It turned out the payoff is that he knows that Deku's body isn't meant for his quirk.
Yeah, and that it's like hurting him when he uses this thing.
Which is fine. I don't see why he has to be so cryptic about it.
He's just a weirdo, I think.
Really weird.
Like he's like carving notes into like stone with his dick laser. Like it's very, very odd. At one point I think he shits his pants when he's like doing like a heartfelt like, "Oh, I know it hurts you, like it hurts me," and he like shits his pants.
Yeah, because his quirk when he uses it, it hurts his tummy.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite straight up comedy characters. Like I don't see him getting like the Kirishima treatment, where it's like, here's the episode where we get serious about Toga.
Yeah, I mean, he might come in, in a critical moment and then use his dick laser. I feel like maybe at a sports festival or something like that, he used it, and it was beneficial.
He's been useful in the way that, like, Mineta will occasionally be useful. Like, remember in the first season where Mineta, like, made the things to jump off of with his great balls? But, like, I don't think we're getting, like, the episode-long deep dive on, like, when Toga was raised, you know, his father had a dick laser, but it, like, caused his, you know. Like...
Well, it actually turns out that the whole show is about Oyama and his dick laser.
Oh, you've been keeping up with the manga.
Yes.
Oh, that's what people were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh,
Oyama is the one who ultimately sneaks into prison and defeats All for One.
Sneaks into prison? That means he was imprisoned. Why did he need to go in there and stop him?
I said sneaks into prison. All for One is in prison.
I know, but if he's in prison, why do we need to stop him? In prison.
That's why you have to watch the show, Dan.
Oh, geez. He's doing nefarious things from within the walls.
I hate when I start like trying to do just a silly improvisation, and I know that it's really dumb to begin with, and yet I feel like the need to continue.
It's yes-anding. That's how it works. I think you got the right instincts there.
All right.
Let's go to town with it. So we go into the meat of this stretch of episodes here, which is the UA kind of school festival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's kind of like a brainstorm thing at the beginning where they're suggesting different ideas.
Right. Yeah. It turns out like a lot of the other students, I mean, I get it. They're jealous of UA. They're upset with Class 1A.
Mm-hmm.
They're upset with them for, you know, they feel they're responsible for all the craziness that's been going on in UA lately. It's unfounded, in my opinion. But, yeah. So they want to do something that will lift the spirits of the other students, and they decide to do a concert.
Yeah, which I wrote down here that Todoroki suggests it, but doesn't seem to understand what it is.
Yeah, like, they bring up a video of a concert, and, like, no one calls it a concert. They're just like, singing and playing music and dancing.
We should look into this phenomenon here. Which, I don't know, is Todoroki just, like, a really sheltered character? Like, I would believe that from, like, Ida, who seems like a real just kind of square. But, like, Todoroki seems worldly.
Well, he did grow up under Endeavor, and Endeavor seemed pretty fucking strict.
That's true. Yeah, I would believe him being, like, the type of parent who's like, you're not allowed to watch The Simpsons.
Yeah, but then again, none of the other students were like, that's a concert, dum-dum. Like, it makes me think that it's maybe just a weird mistranslation or something.
Yeah. But they do decide that, and Eri kind of gets involved with this thing. So Eri, who is such a critical part of the first stretch of episodes and arcs in the season, she is kind of in a place where she blames herself for everything.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks, you know, people died, lost quirks. She actually doesn't know that Night Eye died. But I really like Eri as a character.
Yeah, she's really sweet. I feel really bad for her. Like, the reason she thinks that way is because Overhaul would constantly tell her that she was cursed, and
she's
the reason that, you know, anyone that comes in contact with her dies. Like,
yeah.
So she's obviously trying to recover from that way of thinking, and, you know, Mirio and Deku are really going out of their way to make her happy, and they really want to see her smile. And when they go and visit her in the hospital, they convince Aizawa to let them take her to the festival so she can potentially smile.
Just to give her, like, a nice time after, like, a short lifetime of just trauma and, like, her parents abandoned her. And, like, I just think that's such a sweet idea for, like, a whole arc. It's not even just, like, It'd be nice if they did, like, one little episode about it, but, like, the fact that there's this whole stretch about, like, let's just put on a really fun thing and make Aerie smile, I think is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really curious also to see where her power goes, because it seems like it could potentially have a lot of, like, significant implications down the road.
Yeah, I think there are certain characters whose quirks kind of rise above everyone else's, and, like, you know, like All for One and mm-hmm. stuff like that, or this rewind that Aerie has, because mm-hmm. it's like, okay, that's clearly, especially when, like, attached to something like Deku's right. quirk, you know, it can be huge. But remember Police Chief Dog?
Sure do.
He's back here. I forgot that he just says, is it rough or woof?
I think he goes rough
at the beginning of sentences. And he sees a video. He's alerted to basically a YouTube video of a robbery at the J store of Fluffy Pudding, because it's been expired, and there's a villain. I hesitate to call him a supervillain mm-hmm. because his crimes are weird stunts for YouTube.
Yeah, he doesn't really seem like he has truly evil motivations. I think he's just trying to make statements and, you know, wants to alert the hero community. I think really he just wants to go viral on the internet.
Yeah, I think he's just a guy who, like, created a gimmick to get big on YouTube,
right?
Like, which is such a funny, weird idea.
Yeah, and he's a gentle criminal. He's a gentleman.
He's just a dork. He seems like a guy that would be on YouTube now and, like, be really into, like, steampunk stuff and, like, adopt kind of a little accent and have, like, a YouTube gimmick.
Yeah,
you know.
And he travels along with his little fanatic Labrava, who's obsessed with him.
Which is a weird. It's just weird, because it's like, she is a fan, mm-hmm. like a super fan from the early days, back when he wasn't getting any views, and just the relationship is not entirely clear.
Yeah, what's going it's, on. Exactly.
And his age isn't even clear. Like, he's got gray hair, but then, like, in all the flashbacks you see with him, he's got gray hair, so it's like, well, wait a minute. She seems like a junior high student, and at first I thought he was, like, in his 50s or something.
She seems really, really young. He seems way older, and yeah, they exchange I love yous at a certain point. It's very strange dynamic going on there.
Yeah, at first I thought it was like a father-daughter type thing, but there is like, I love you and honey and stuff like that. But like, they never get like, they're not like making out or anything. It's
no.
just like, it's still just like, this, I don't know what the deal is here. I'm glad we're not going too deep into that. But yeah, as they're putting together the concert, Jiro, headphone jack, turns out, I guess it makes sense that she would come from like a family of musicians and right. have a passion for it. And did you ever notice, like, her hair has, like, little waveforms in it?
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little quirk. Well, not quirk in the My Hero sense, but...
little detail.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love the part where she sings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone starts, like, crying because it's so good, apparently.
And the animation of just, like, golden, just, like, light and, like, their hair is getting blown back and they're all, like, smiling huge. Like, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yep. And just kind of a fun montage of, like, let's see who can do stuff with music. Mm-hmm. And, like, Dark Shadow is just, like, wailing on guitar.
Yeah.
Mineta can't reach the strings.
And he cries. He's, like, really angry about it.
Yeah.
Bakugo is apparently a drummer, which makes sense.
Yeah. He's very percussive.
Yeah. It's explosive. A very physical instrument. Yeah. It would benefit from someone of Bakugo's temperament, I guess.
Yeah. And just seeing him back there just, like, you know, angry and just banging. I was like, yeah, okay, this checks out.
Yeah.
This is good. But yeah, all that stuff I thought was really fun. I think in general, Mineta, they do just such a good job with him of like weird animation. Mm-hmm. Whenever he's being like a total creep or freaking out, they always do like the weird stuff with his eyes or just like a lurky, creepy
he's
thing.
He's so fucking creepy. The first time he meets Aerie, he's like, oh, I could tell you're going to be a looker.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And she's a really young like child. It's
yes.
just fucking creepy.
Like at every step, he is just like, that is his character. It's like, he's just like basically just whacking off over the idea of like a beauty pageant happening at the festival. but then we also get a little bit of All Might teaching Deku that he needs a long-distance attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think Deku realizes his limitations at a long distance, and All Might demonstrates how, like, they could kind of manipulate wind to his advantage and use the wind itself by, I guess, you know, forcing it in certain directions.
Yeah, and I love the way the show explains stuff like this, because it's like, obviously this is all ridiculous, unrealistic mm-hmm. stuff, but like, they kind of try to couch it in like, well, okay, so when you did 20% at the beginning here, but then you did 100%, like, mm-hmm. they'll like, break it down and be like, well, if you could just, you know, go like, hover at a 20%, but then go 100% for a second with your finger, right. you can flick this, like, I don't know, they make me like, believe it in a way,
uh-huh.
yeah, whereas if it was something else where it's like, oh, just do this. And he was shooting like tornado things. It would feel too convenient.
Totally. Yeah. It's really interesting to see him to, you know, we talk about his evolution all the time, but to see him go from, like, so overwhelmed with this power that he can't use it without shattering his body to now, like, being able to refine it and learn new attacks and new skills and focusing his power in certain places and being able to manipulate the environment around him with his power and stuff. It's really neat.
Yeah, I think it's so cool because when we first met All Might and we saw him doing, like, one for all, it just, like, he makes it look effortless because he knows how to do it so mm-hmm. well. But then, like, through Deku learning it, it's so fun realizing, like, how awesome All Might must be, because he makes it look effortless, but, like, he's constantly having to think about, like, okay, I'm going to keep my entire body at this level, and then I'm going to do these bursts of things, and I got to make sure not to hurt this. Right. Like, there's, like, a crazy amount of thought that goes into that quirk.
Yeah, totally. It's not just, like, a brute force thing.
Yeah, which I think at the beginning it's one of the less flashy quirks, because it's like, oh, you get, like, really powerful and can hit really hard, but they make it so much more, there's so much detail to it.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that's definitely the impression you would get early on, but, you know, watching the show, it's just clear, like, the level of power is just obscene. I mean, it was demonstrated in the fight against Overhaul, like, what the power is actually capable of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves further.
And I feel like it's evolved every season mm-hmm. in, like, natural ways.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a, like, kind of weird tea subplot going on here with Gentle Criminal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate this.
I thought you would.
Is it Yayorozu?
Momo?
Momo?
I just say
the creation,
Momo.
Is it Momo? That's who I'm...
That's yeah, we're thinking of the same one, yeah.
She's, like, a big thing this season is she really is into tea, I guess, and so am I, so I can yes. relate. And she her family's, like, obscenely rich, and they send her these gold-tipped imperial teas, and she's, you know, sharing it with everyone, and then we see Gentle, like, fantasizing about drinking this tea, and it's at this tea shop, and they like to drink tea as a ritual before their criminal exploits, so.
Yeah, but he, like spills it all the time, or gets it in his eye, and, like, he's always fucking up the tea, it seems.
Yeah, he's always pouring it from, like, such a great height that it gets everywhere.
Yeah, and, like, the YouTube videos are always just, like, there's just tea all over the side of the mug and everything. But there's, like, this weird little cafe next to the, like, convenience store. And there's a encounter between Gentle Criminal and Deku there, like, right before, I guess we should talk about what the plan was.
Right, yeah. So Gentle Criminal wants to really make a big statement, and he knows the UA festival is coming up soon, so he wants to essentially just infiltrate it. It doesn't seem like he was really planning on doing anything nefarious, but...
He wants some FaceTime.
Yeah, yeah. He just wants to, I guess, make his video go viral. And
it's like someone sneaking into, like, an abandoned theme park for a YouTube video. Be like, look, I got in here. This is crazy. It's just, right. like, a status type thing.
Yeah, and, so, like, security's on super high alert with everything that's been happening, and pretty much the situation is that if there's, like, a whiff of any threat to the students at the festival, that they're just going to cancel the festival. So because of that, you know, Deku's really sensitive about anything compromising it because everyone's so excited about it.
And it means so much to him because of the airy factor.
Yeah, absolutely. And he needs to go get a rope, which ends up being really beneficial because he runs into Gentle while he's going to pick up his stuff up. And he recognizes him from the videos. And
the voice. Because, like, he's got a mask on, but, like, Gentle Criminal is really bad at just, like, playing it cool. He's got to just be so theatrical all the time.
Yeah, and like, Deku mentions the tea cafe, and then Gentle can't help but start talking about tea and, like, what good taste Momo must have for drinking Gold Tips Imperial. Yeah, they kind of have this showdown once Deku realizes that something's going to go down.
Yeah, it's like, there are, like, 3 points where Gentle Criminal just kind of, like, makes it clear that, like, oh, like, what? You didn't have to say that. Like, he blew his cover, basically.
Yeah, and I really like that this whole kind of scenario, because unlike most confrontations with villains, like, for example, just what we saw earlier in the season against Shiei Hisaikai,
mm-hmm.
it's always this huge blowout thing where it seems like the odds are stacked against the heroes, but they just eke it out at the last minute. In this case, it seemed like Deku kind of had the upper hand most of the time, even
yeah.
when in the latter portion of the conflict, LaBrava kind of unleashes her quirk, which just, like, powers up
yeah.
Gentle. But, yeah, so his power is this elasticity thing, which is neat, but doesn't seem to be particularly, like, effective as an offensive ability.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of, like, you know, I was really big on, like, Ninja Turtles as a kid, and not every episode was about, like, Shredder's about to blow up the world and we have to stop Shredder. There was a whole cast of just, like, goofy little dork villains that, like, oh, the scientist fly guy is going to cause some some trouble down at the lab or whatever. And so, well, let's go fuck him up and put him in jail, you know?
Yeah. Like, and also, I just appreciate that not every villain is, like, unbelievably dark and evil
yes.
and, like, wants to do damage. Like, this is just kind of like, and I feel like a lot of villains, if this quirk scenario was real, not every villain would want to take over the world. Like, there would probably be some that just want to cause trouble.
Or get fame.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like the quirk version of people who are really mean on the internet just to get, like, engagement or whatever.
Totally, yeah. It's like, oh, okay, it's an easy way to get attention. I'll use my quirk to go fuck up a festival
right,
or something
right.
like that. Yeah, and especially because, like, we're coming right off of, like, a really kind of darker
totally.
One with, like, that was a especially dark one with mm-hmm. Overhaul and everything. And it definitely seems like we're going to be going into some rough stuff. But this was great. This was a great way to end the season.
It was nice. And it wasn't a huge, like, commitment episode wise. Like, I feel like it kind of happened in the background. Like, the gentle stuff was percolating in the background. It didn't dominate too much of the episodes.
Yeah.
And then when the conflict finally happened, it was more, I feel like the urgency came more from the fact that Deku had to get back to the festival in time. It was less
yeah.
like this was a horrible threat and more just like, I got to finish this so I can get back. Like,
yeah.
I really liked it. And I like that they want to pepper in these smaller scale conflicts instead of just everything being this like potentially world ending scenario.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to set off a bomb at the place or anything. Like, I thought this really, really worked. And even the A story, basically, if Gentle was the B story, the A story of putting the festival together
mm-hmm.
is just so much fun throughout all this.
Yeah.
You know, even like it's there's so many goofy quirk things where, like, the whole reason Deku is going to get the rope is because his job is to, like, basically walk in the rafters and, like, drag
Oyama.
Yeah, along while he's, like, looking like a disco ball
because right.
his laid up dick laser or whatever. Like, and we'll get to the actual festival in a second, but yeah, everyone uses their quirks in, like, really
mm-hmm.
cool, fun ways. Like, this is a fun stretch of episodes.
Yeah.
Is the main word I would use to describe
more lighthearted, for sure.
Yeah, which, again, good timing with it, too.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's a little fight with, like, we learn about elasticity, which he uses, but like you said, not really an offensive one, but he's some fun stuff where he's like metal beams and stuff he's making wobble
mm-hmm.
or he's like slingshotting himself with a crane. Like,
yeah. Ultimately, it ends up being so innocuous that when they're inevitably caught by the campus security, Deku even says like, oh, everything's fine. Like, Deku kind of plays it down too, because I think he recognizes that they don't necessarily have like evil intentions.
This is kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know, like, especially when he's all defeated and he's just like, oh man, like, you know, you just kind of feel bad for him.
Right.
And we see a little bit of his backstory of just being a failed hero and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome character all around. He's one that I would love to see, like, come back up, you know, half a season later or something and just be like maybe working with the good guys or just a cameo.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I want to mention, like, the flashback when it shows that, like, he was training to be a hero and he tried to use his power to save someone who was falling, and it ended up killing the guy.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that would leave an impression on someone.
Yeah, and like Deku, after the fight, kind of being like, oh, I see a lot of me and you. Like, I could have seen myself taking this path if,
mm-hmm.
you know, I doubted myself and got down on myself and things like that. And
right.
It was a kind of a nuanced little thing for such a flashy, weird character, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. Also, I love the line. He says, I am betting my soul and my prized mustache on this festival scheme. That's really good. Also, Deku pulls out a shoot-style St. Louis smash
mm-hmm.
in the fight, which I gotta enjoy that. Hound Dog is the security.
We've met Hound Dog before.
We?
I think so.
I just like seeing Quirk Dog.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
He's just a dog man.
Yep. When Deku gets back to the festival, Toga says, Sacre Bleu. And I realized, I haven't thought about that phrase since like I was a kid. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I used to say that when I was a kid, when I would be on AIM, because there was this, I don't know if you remember what those old school emojis used to look like.
I bet if I saw them, I'd be like, oh,
you'd
right,
be
immediately.
Instantly transported. And there was this one that always looked like he was saying sacrebleu.
Really?
So I was such a fucking lame child. I'm still pretty lame. But I would send that along and I would say sacrebleu.
With the emoji?
Yeah.
Well, I realized as a child, I think I thought it was someone saying suck my blood with a weird accent. Like, yeah, suck my blood. I thought it was like a weird vampire accent saying suck my blood. But as I heard Toga say it, I was like, oh, he's definitely just saying like some French saying or something. It's not suck my blood. But then, yeah, we get to the concert itself. And like I mentioned earlier, everyone's just like, it's just such a fun thing where it's just like rapid fire montage of like Shoto Todoroki's like shooting out the ice everywhere. Right. And then the tape guy is like shooting like colored like confetti tape everywhere. Mm-hmm. What other little
things? They're performing. Obviously, the disco ball thing with Oyama is going on. The whole audience is super into it. Even the people that came just to hate it.
That guy with the giant moon head, like I don't think we've seen before. And he's
like a big old pompadour.
Yeah, yeah. Like sometimes he'll come into frame and like his whole head seems like a giant moon like coming in. It's just a super fun scene. And then like the emotional height of that is when you see Eri in the crowd just like light up for the first time. You know,
she's really enjoying it. Yeah, it's so sweet.
It's just a sweet, fun moment. Like, and I really thought it was going to go in the direction of like, oh, there's going to be a huge fight and everyone's going to run screaming from the festival because they think this guy's going to, and Deku's got to beat him. And like, it's just so not that.
Yeah, and we learned earlier that Eri's favorite food is just apples.
Mm-hmm.
And so Deku made her candy apples. Like, he made it from scratch because they weren't selling them at the festival. That was so sweet.
There's just so many little character moments that it's just like, it makes you love all of these characters, all these kids at UA. And everything. Even ones that just seem like one-off jokes, you'll just wind up getting, like, larger stories or episodes about. And it's like, oh, man, all these stories or all these characters are deeper than you first think. I also like another class does this fucking play that is like Romeo and Juliet, something Gandalf and the something of Azkaban. And there's like it ends with like I am your father type scene. Like it's just
an amalgam of all these different like nerdy pop culture references.
Yeah, which I have to wonder what the non-translated like the original was, because it's probably just like a similar thing but with Japanese pop culture. Wouldn't you think?
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't considered that. Well, I'm sure the Romeo-Juliet framing is the same.
Probably it was swords and stuff.
And the Gandalf stuff.
Maybe, but
I mean, I'm sure kids in Japan read Harry Potter.
Maybe, but like whenever like I would go to Nintendo to do stories at Game Informer, and like sometimes you talk to the localization people or the people that write like, oh, a Mario and Luigi RPG or whatever, and you'd ask about like, oh, there's so many pop culture references and stuff in here. And so they would need to take like this Japanese pop group reference and be like, okay, what is the analog for that? And it's like, okay, we'll do NSYNC.
Well,
here
sure, but I'm sure certain things transcend.
Yeah, I'm sure like Star Wars is probably worldwide, right?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was super fun. I did like Hound Dog completely flipping out on Deku and All Might. He seems like a real serious security dog. There's a beauty pageant. Not a whole lot happens there. I think it's funny that there's like a board breaking demonstration during a beauty pageant with like ska music playing. It's
Kendo, yeah.
And we meet that lady we haven't seen before that's got like a giant golden head of herself.
Yeah, I don't know what that lady's deal is. She's in like the business course or like the supplemental like, you know, hardware building course. I forgot what that's called, but
yeah, there's like different schools or categories of the school that like Yawarashi and all them and Kami, like are they? They're not UA, right?
No, Cammy's not UA.
Right, but like that group is from a different school.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas sometimes we'll see classes from like 2A or 2B or whatever.
Right, there's the girl that makes all the gadgets that,
She's great.
Yeah,
I like her a lot. She shows up a couple times here, but doesn't really have much to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, she makes Deku those gloves that allow him to use the wind attacks.
That's right, the support items.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the last couple episodes here of the season, they're kind of self-contained for the most part. They're done with the festival. Eri is going to live at UA. The Wild Wild Pussycats come back. And
Seems inconsequential.
Yeah, I mean, what did they... Did they lose... All For One, like, steals quirks, right?
Yeah.
Like, so he stole their quirks and now has them in jail in Tartarus prison. Coda, the little horn hat kid, kind of forgot about him. But yeah, basically, I think they're planting the seeds here for, like, All For One is still, you know, up to no good.
Right. We have this, like, Billboard Top 100 Heroes showcase in which Endeavor is, like, officially named the number one hero.
Yeah, and I think that's a really fun thing of, like, him taking over the mantle from this, like, really beloved hero and him just not really having the personality for that role.
Right, and even when he tries to, like, everyone's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be an asshole.
Yeah, there's a kid who cries blood when he tries to give him a handshake. It's like, what? No, you're so cool because you're mean.
Right.
It's like, But like most people seem to be like, oh, it's Endeavor.
Yeah, know? But yeah. So there's this other guy, Hawks, who's the second number two. He's the number two hero, right?
Two or three? Yeah,
I think he's number two.
Is he two? Okay. Fierce wings.
Yeah, he's got these wings, and like he can control every feather individually. It seems pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But he has like this devil may care attitude, and he wants to kind of team up with Endeavor, or at least get with him to address this rumor. It ends up being a true rumor that there's this Nobu in town. Nomu?
Is it Nomu? Yeah.
And while they're discussing it over dinner, the Nomu just breaks through the glass and attacks him. And it's like a way, way more advanced Nomu than the ones we've seen before, in that it like has the capacity to think.
It like talks and stuff.
Yeah. And it regenerates. And it really poses a huge challenge for Endeavor. And Endeavor gets beaten the crap out of.
It's like his eye gets like put out pretty much.
Right. Yeah. It's a rough fight. But ultimately, Endeavor prevails. We see some really awesome, huge Inferno attacks.
I kept thinking he was going to die.
Yeah, I was thinking too. I was like almost wondering like that'd be kind of a cool move if they kill Endeavor.
I thought that was going to be cool and a really cool way to set up the next season. But I really like what they did. It's mm-hmm. an incredibly triumphant moment that like in just like one episode, basically, they do a lot of flashbacks with the family, with Todoroki and the mother that Endeavor was so bad to growing up, and. You know, it's a pretty clear analogy they're drawing here that, like, he overheats, and when he overheats, things get fucked up. And right. It's just basically saying he's a temper.
Right.
So it's telling a story about a dad with a temper who was bad to his family.
Right.
You know, and so during this fight with the Nomu, he realizes he's overheating, mm-hmm. but he realizes that it would cause too much damage to the city. And so that's just kind of showing him growing. He, like, basically takes the Nomu into space and does this fucking super-duper crazy, it was something smash, fire, blaze, mm-hmm. or whatever, and kills it. You have to, like, kill the head. But I thought that was such a cool thing. And then he lands. Everyone assumed he was dead, but he's standing and he raises his fist up.
Right, like what All Might did.
Yeah, it's a real, like, fuck yeah moment.
Yeah, you know? It is. And it's kind of like him kind of officially stepping up and taking the place of All Might.
Yeah.
And restoring people's hopes in a way, like becoming the new symbol.
Yeah, and he's kind of talking to the Nomu at the end of the fight and saying, like, oh, well, you're just obsessed with power. You just want to, you know, become the most powerful thing. Like, you are my old self. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of takes his old self into space and just annihilates it,
right.
And comes back. And he's like, it's a scene where he's actually stepping up. And, man, I thought that was cool as hell. Just
yeah,
the smoke clears,
really cool.
And it's just, this show, when it wants to do those big, big moments, it really nails them.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah. So, and... sets up season 5, which there's a little teaser at the end after the credits where it appears to be Deku having a nightmare, kind of going through space. It's the same kind of space motif we've seen whenever like the abstract all for one or one for all stuff is shown.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually get to see the people who have had the power before, and somebody reaches out to him and says, "It's you. You're the ninth."
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah. If I have one nitpicky thing that we discovered this season, it's that. We have typically stopped the episodes when the credits start.
Right.
Because early on, in early seasons, we would watch it and it would just be like, here's the preview for the next one. But then, like, I think we let it play out earlier in the season and it was like, wait, what is this scene? What is this? We didn't see this and they don't come back to it the next time. So,
right.
Like, I think we've missed a handful of scenes.
Well, yeah. Basically. But the thing is, they don't always do it. Like, sometimes there is just a preview at the end of the ending credits. Like, and other times there's a post-credit scene. So, yeah, we should really stick to a lane. If there's a post-credit scene, maybe do it all the time or move it to the actual end of the episode instead of after the credits. Yeah.
That's like the one thing I think I could complain about like this season. But man, I loved it. We did go back to dubs. We switched to Funimation because Hulu is not caught up on the dubs, but
right.
Funimation is. But this is up there. This is as good as the show's ever been, I think.
Yeah, it's great. It's you know, it never fails to introduce new compelling characters and new scenarios. Like, it never kind of treads on old ground and gets tired. It's always fresh. I love this show.
Yeah, even at the beginning of the season when they were introducing all these different characters, and I was like, who are these people? It all just worked out,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that is going to actually wrap up our entire season 4 of My Hero Academia Talk.
It's been a wild ride, Dan.
It has been a wild ride. That is a lot of podcast episodes we've done. I want to see if I can make like a Spotify playlist of just our My Hero ones if people want to listen to it
mm-hmm.
straight through. Because we've watched every episode of seasons 1 through 4. I'm very excited about where it goes with season 5.
That's correct.
But stick around. You know, we're closing out 2020 coming up here. We'll do a little Christmas thing. And we got the Panty Awards coming up after that. So, yeah, we'll do some seasonal appropriate stuff here to close out the year
mm-hmm.
and we'll go into 2021 with a bang. But We also want to thank all of you who have supported us all year or in previous years. Mm-hmm. And specifically, a shout out to our patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons. If you go to patreon.com/panningthestream, you can sign up real quick. It's $5, one tier. Keep it simple.
Just five.
Ad-free episodes. You can catch the episodes early, Saturday instead of Sunday.
Wow.
You get access to the Discord.
Wow.
We've got over 450 people in the Discord now. It's active. Whoa, man.
That's a little town. That's the Outer Haven.
If you saw that's our outer. Yes, we should rename it. Yes, it's the Reichert's Outer Heaven. Yes, I think that's taken. But yeah, you also, most importantly, will get for you written for you by Bonk. Hey, Bonk who?
That's right, Dan.
Bonk, do we have someone this week?
We sure do.
Who do we got?
His name is Tyler.
Tyler, hello.
And he's cool.
Yeah.
I think.
Is his username Tyler is cool or something?
No, it's not. But one can just infer based on
his patronage?
Qualities, namely his patronage.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of all we have to go off of, Tyler. We're sure you're great in a lot of ways. All we know is you're a patron, and that's pretty cool to us.
So, Tyler, I wrote this Bonku for you, and it goes a little something like this. Tyler left his home and swore never to return to its evil grasp.
Jesus. It's going to turn out he's from, Akron, Ohio or something. It's just a very standard town. I don't know what happened in Akron, Tyler, but...
Go on.
I know what you're talking about earlier. Shit, I started saying something that I realized I don't have a joke. I don't know where to go with this. Thank you, Tyler.
Yes.
That's where I was going with that. We got the Hugh game that we'll do at the end of each episode.
Hugh game.
The song. And it is, if you could add an extra month to the calendar, where would you place it? And I read this as the general vibe of kind of that time of year is extended as well.
Summer. Got to be in the summer.
Where do you put it? What months are you putting it between?
Between July and August.
Really?
Yeah.
That's would be low on my list.
Well, I mean, I just feel like the summer has a vibe.
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, the summer kind of starts in June. We get July, we get August. Those are a nice solid 3 months. Mm. And I just love summertime. It's just so carefree and you get to wear less clothes and, you know.
It's hot.
It's hot, but you wear less clothes, and you have the AC on, and then it's just, I don't know, I like the summer.
I don't dislike summer, but I don't like being hot. I don't like that at all. That would probably be damn near the bottom of my list, I think.
Well, all right, Mr. Better answers than me, where would you put the month?
Well, the right answer is between October and November.
Aw, a little autumnal flair for the year.
And try that pronunciation again.
You like the pretty little leaves?
I like the smell. There's always a day every year where it's starting. Its first day, it's kind of brisk and cold out, and you can kind of smell. It's got kind of that leafy
burning leaves.
Yeah, and it makes me think of Halloween time and everything. So I think right there, right around Halloween, is some of my favorite weather. It's nice and chilly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in terms of just the perfect temperature, I feel like September usually always delivers
because
it's you're coming off the hot summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite cold yet, but you get the occasional 50 degree, but by and large, it's 60 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah. Between September and October would be a good second guess, I'd say.
Yeah. What would you call that extra month?
Oh, between October. Well, it doesn't really sound like either one of them. What sounds like a month that wouldn't be weird?
Crumtober?
Smarch?
Ooh, Smarch.
That's a Simpsons joke.
Oh.
Lousy Smarch weather. I'm not... I have found I'm really... I would be the worst improv person because whenever I'm on the spot, I don't think I can come up with a funny thing. I can't come up with a joke or a bit. I think on the fly, just talking, I can be funny.
How about cucumber?
Cucumber? Just spelled like cucumber? Like cube timber?
Well, isn't...
Cucumter?
I mean, the thing about months is they just have to end in ER, right?
I don't have to. March, April,
I don't know. Let's stop talking about this.
July?
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
How many actually have to... Wait, January doesn't? February doesn't? March doesn't? April doesn't? May doesn't? June doesn't? July doesn't? August doesn't? September, October, November. Okay, you got the last four.
Episode.
All right, that's it, folks. Thanks for listening to My Hero Academia. We got some fun episodes coming up. Hit the old subscribe. If you just joined for the My Hero stuff, which they're very popular episodes, you know what? Give it a shot. Hit the old subscribe or follow or whatever the fuck app you use. We got fun stuff coming up. We do fun stuff all year, each and every week on Panning the Stream.
Just play us in the background while you're sitting there picking your nose.
Yeah, just go on repeat. Looks good for the numbers and everything. You know, just we're just counting on you to boost our numbers, basically.
Just you.
Yes,
listener.
You listening right there. Yes, that's you in your ears.
You listening in Akron, Ohio, while you're walking your dog. Imagine if that's really a person.
Oh, that'd be cool. They think we're talking about them.
We are.
I should edit this part out so they think, like, oh, they were actually talking about me. Mm. Yes. But thank you all.
We are talking about you.
Yes, you.
Listener.
Akron man. Thank you all very much. Give us the old 5 stars now, podcast, if you feel like it. Thanks to Tom Minor for the theme song.
Thanks, bro.
I could have ended this episode 3 minutes ago, but I'm just rambling. So anything else on your mind?
No.
I think I got all my stuff out. So folks
Stop
at home.
Screaming.
I do notice when I edit that near the end and the beginning, the waveform gets so much higher and I need to like bring those down because otherwise the normalization gets... I'm just still talking.
Yeah, I know.
Why am I doing this?
I'm hungry. I want to stop so I can eat.
I need to eat. I need to get on a stream. The folks are waiting. Close it out.
Bye.